We are here at Legacy HQ in Wynwood. I've got a really close friend of mine, Gunnar Peterson, OG of OGs. He's the real deal. Has trained people like The Rock, Sylvester Stallone. He was the Los Angeles Lakers strength coach. The number of athletes he's trained is too many to name. He's just a phenomenal human being, and I can't wait to show him the gym. It'll be his first time seeing it. Well, first of all, thank you for taking the time to do this.
Stop. This like, is so
good. This guy's really busy.
First of all, I would have come by anyway because I'm dying to see the new space. Yeah. The old space, you know, I thought was phenomenal.
I know.
I told you at the time a number of times, you should buy this. This is sick. Yeah. This is sick. Shows you what I know because this is phenomenal.
Thank you.
This is like.
I was hoping for that response because I was a little nervous.
I just took my wife, interrupted, you know. Walked my wife out and gave her the tour. She's like, maybe we should just have his builder come to Nashville. I said, stop it, stop it. Yeah, this is, wow, impressive. But it also says, like, this is where top tier fitness places should come to take notes. Like, you can't tell me you're going to open a gym. Like, I know. Because I'm not done, as you've seen, doing my gym in Nashville. Like, I'll go home and make changes now because I saw this.
Yeah, and that's what I want. I want to inspire people.
But then you should come to me and go, "Oh, you did that. I want to do that." And then
exactly.
I should,
right.
And it should just be that in this industry, and it's not.
And it's not. And that's actually one of the main reasons I wanted to talk to you, is because I think from the moment I met you, there was never a competitive feel. It was like a let's share as much ideas as we can and help each other.
Yeah.
And there's very, very few people in the industry like that. And I don't understand why we don't have more respect for people. And again, outside of us, but like people that wake up at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, go to bed at 10, 11 o'clock at night, serving people all day long, trying to improve their fitness. Why are we not supportive of other people doing that?
And don't forget another part, you'll get in trouble for having left out, having the home life balance, having a wife, having a family, maintaining interpersonal relationships with your siblings and your parents. Like you're still like your dance card is full on all those.
Right.
And then you're doing the fitness stuff and sharing it with other people. I don't know what, that's a whole psychological thing. Why aren't people more into the sharing and that if you dug deep, it's probably some kind of insecurity or fear of having it taken from them or copied. I look at it like I will copy your shit. I mean, I'm just gonna tell you right now.
I know for a fact I got ideas. I mean, like I said, Sorenex was all you. When I saw the Sorenex in your place, I was like, oh my God, I have to have this stuff. Who is this guy?
My Sorenex, what I did with it is, and all Sorenex is good Sorenex, let that be said.
Yeah.
But mine is here, and now you've taken it to that level. That room with the Sorenex is...
No, it's my favorite, just from an aesthetically pleasing to the eye, all the details. And it was a process. Like, you had to sit down with them and be like, because they send you something, their version.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, I want it like this. And then they send you back, and it's wrong, and you got to correct it. And then, but the process of that is, I love the process of that. But
all the other stuff you did, I mean, I have one iron sign that was sent to me by somebody, and it's like, I love it. It's on the outside of my building. And then I look in here and you've got iron walls and iron cutouts. And it's like, not that I want to do more of that, but you just see that more of that is okay. It's not overload. It's not too much. A little bit of neon goes a long way. Okay, but how about neon on the ceiling?
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen neon on the ceiling other than in a nightclub.
Yeah, that was another also
thing
that was a disaster.
Maybe abstract neon things, but that's like no days off.
Yeah.
Super inspirational. Plus you think of all the stuff you do, all the, because that's out in your group exercise room. Think of all the things you're doing on your back in a class, not just passing out at the end, but whether it's crunches or...
Right.
Or,
no, it's a reminder. It's a constant reminder.
Wherever you look, you're gassed up, I think.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think the quote wall, too, for me, it's affirmations. And I don't know if you saw the quotes. I'll have to show you. There's also quotes going around the whole gym.
I saw some. I saw Vince Lombardi one.
So there's quotes on all of those I-beams.
And then I even saw in your recovery cold plunge area, there's a neon sign that says, till my last breath.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah. But like, to me, those are very, I'm a big believer in if you speak life and you affirm things, then stuff happens.
Totally.
So I've already gotten feedback from members of they're literally reading the walls as they're going through the workout to help them, you know, persistence, don't give up, you know, these kind of like almost whispers that they're telling themselves. So it's good.
What a great spirit. You should be super proud. Like this is, again, you know, I loved The Last Gym, and anytime I was in town, I was a fan of coming there and I'd bring anybody I could, but this is like way, way past that. You did not stop at Go.
Well, when you're, I think when you're somewhere I was there for 14 years, and you can ask my brother, I basically was like dream boarding this the entire time I was there. I thought that it was going to be that building. I was just going to build up, you know, and turn it into this, but you know, it didn't happen. They wouldn't sell me the building. So I had to pivot. But I think, I knew that if I was going to move essentially my home, that's basically, I mean, I spent like 14, 16 hours.
I would say guarantee you spent more time there than you did in your home.
100%. If I was going to move it, I had to come out swinging, you know, like do something spectacular. So floating container ship sounded about right. You know what I mean? Like you had to come out swinging. I want to talk about you though a little bit. So
I just want to talk about this
that's
gym.
Why you're here. Because we could sit here and talk about the gym
about
forever.
This gym.
I know we could do that. But you're...
I'm sipping my No Days Off water.
Yes. And we're going to have this in all... And many, many, many gyms.
It's great.
One thing I wanted to ask you, because again, who connected us? Like, I'm trying to remember.
Propel.
It was Propel. That's
the
right.
First time I met you was at the fitness
because we were going to do the fitness
festival.
Yeah. So I remember the first conversation because I was pacing back and forth on the basketball court at the old warehouse. And it was just like, I would say something, you would say something, I would say something, and we'd never really had a conversation. And we just bounced back like instantly on our philosophies, ideas, energy, whatever. And I was just fat. It meant a lot to me because sometimes you don't have that connection with people in the industry.
Most times.
And then of course, you know, I dove into kind of like learning a little bit about you and just, I was fascinated with the longevity of how long you've been doing this, not to put your age in there, but like,
bring it.
So I wanted to ask you like, so when did you start? Because I don't technically, you know, I don't really remember like when
this
was
my 31st year of training people.
31st year.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 31st year, people.
And you know, it's funny. I love it.
Yeah.
I still wake up and I have like, selfishly, I think about what I'm going to do in my own workout, but also chronologically, that's going to happen first. So that's probably a logical pattern. And I've written the workouts for whoever I'm going to see the night before and printed them out. And they're already in my bag, ready to go. I have to map it out. I can't wing it. I don't think the people who come to you deserve, I don't think that's fair, right?
Right.
You know, even the greatest chefs work off a recipe. So I'm working off of something. Obviously you reserve the right to change it on the fly if you see something's not working or for whatever reason. Like I tell them, I go, it's a template, not a Bible. So I'm not sticking to it like this, but I have that to go off of. There's no guesswork. But I do wake up thinking in a very positive way about my day. I'm working out, then I'm seeing this person, this person, this person. Oh, I have to remember he was in yesterday, so I'll start him late. And I'm still thinking like that. If I weren't thinking like that, I probably wouldn't do it. I probably wouldn't be eager to book the people and to execute the workouts and all that. So
it's and what do you
31 years, you asked the number and I know the number because I was having that conversation with somebody yesterday. But other than that, it's like, it's just what you do. I don't know. I don't think other people in other careers, like you've been a lawyer for this long, you know, you've driven a school bus for this long, you've been a nurse for this long. Like it's just, that's just your life.
Right.
And you don't try to, you know, I don't try to define myself by it. I don't try to, you know, quantify it and look at it and wonder. I'm way past wondering if this is what I should do. Is it my calling? Like, this is what I do. Like, I'm all in.
Right.
I'm all in.
And so one thing has there ever been a moment though that you've thought about pivoting to anything else or is it just kind of nose to the ground?
There's like, never been a, it's not working, what else can I do? Because knock on wood, it's always have always been lucky enough or worked in a way to generate that. So that's never been a thing. There are times when you pull back or you do something that's outside of this, but it's always a direct, it's always directly related to, like, because I'm a trainer, this is available. Because I worked with this person, this comes available. And you start to do those things. And then sometimes it's a little bit of, should I do more of that?
Right.
And less of the one-on-one. And maybe I should, I don't know, but I'm drawn to the one-on-one. I like the one-on-one. It comes to me, it's there. So why would I turn my back to it? I just wouldn't.
Right.
Yeah.
And you were in Beverly Hills for 30 of those years, right? Like, that was your...
Yeah, so the first couple I was bouncing more in homes. I worked out of a facility where I shouldn't have worked just because I wasn't hired by them. It was sort of a cat and mouse deal. And then I was people in home, and then I worked at a gym in West Hollywood for 7 or so years, and then I opened my own.
What year did you open your own?
Had to be like 98. Right around then. I think I'm 24 years into my own.
That's amazing.
And then I had that one for 9 years. And then I went to a facility, a commercial space in Beverly Hills for 15 plus. And now just 6 months ago, relocated to Nashville, as you know. And
yes. I'm so excited to see what you do with that. I'll let you tell it. But you bought a standalone building. You have your own land, your own private gate. It's in Franklin, Tennessee. It has so much potential.
Huge potential.
Unlimited potential, really.
Well, right. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure the city will tell me otherwise in terms of what I can build. And I am playing by all the rules. Yeah. I'm too old to have those games.
Right.
Of like, I'm not trying to, hey, look, I'm doing this and then doing this. I'm playing it right down the middle, and it'll be, I will max it out. Whatever I'm allowed to do, I will do. And you know, stay on budget. Probably the time will stretch out. It won't happen as soon as I'd like it to happen, but it'll be cool. And then I'll also have different components of training that I couldn't do in Beverly Hills because I'll have, you know, weather permitting, indoor, outdoor. Even if some of my outdoor is under an overhang, just being able to step outside.
That's
even if you step outside
nice
and it's
component.
40 degrees and it just hits you,
yeah,
I'm fine with that.
Heck yeah.
Or in the summer you step outside and it's 104 right. degrees, I'll take that too.
Right.
And hopefully, and so far it's been this way, but hopefully the people that are coming to us are down with that too. In the summer, I had the doors open a couple of times, and then you like your doors plus AC, am I supposed to be doing this?
Yeah,
and,
right.
But
I went through that whole period when I had the warehouse, and it's, you'll figure it out. You'll figure out, like, some days you'll just turn off the AC and open the doors,
right.
And then some days you'll run them both. Like, yeah. I did that too.
Right, right.
You know?
But it's fun because it also, as a trainer, like if you go base, 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 that's to me what you're supposed to be doing. It creates new programming, new protocols, new approaches to this. If you have somebody who's maybe their interest is waning or maybe their body's, you know, lagging or they're just, you know, not into it or maybe their cancellation rate has increased, all of a sudden you spin one little thing. Whether it's take something outside or you move the equipment around or you add like you did a container or a thing, whatever, like there's new ways to make it new again. And it doesn't have to be huge. It could be a little tweak. It doesn't have to be a new machine, but it could be something as simple as a new handle.
Well, don't you, and I find that like interesting that most of our clients, if we tweak something just a little bit, they're fascinated. They're blown away. They're like, you know, it's a completely different workout.
But they love it.
Yeah, they love
it. Even
if
you move something.
Just a little, like, you know.
But I'm more crowded. Like, I don't, the way you lay it out is much more user-friendly because you have more people. Because I don't have a lot of people. I'm a little more jammy-jam.
Yeah.
But
like you said, it's because it's one-on-one.
Right.
So you're able to do that.
But when I move something that has been here for X number of months or years over here, it creates new programming pockets. And sometimes I've found that when there's a piece of equipment that's not getting used, it's not because the equipment isn't good or isn't worthy. It's because of where it is, and it's harder to access or harder to load or unload. And so I get lazy is the wrong word because that implies a consciousness about it. But I just don't include it a lot. And,
right.
And sometimes a person will get on and they'll go, is this new? And I'm thinking, no, it's been here 5 years, but it's been over there. And we haven't used it in 3 years.
I mean, to their credit, though, like,
it is.
You've never seen so much equipment in your life. Like, how big was your space in Beverly Hills? It wasn't that big.
No, upstairs, the gym floor was probably 3,800 and the downstairs was probably 1,200.
But it probably had more equipment than a full-size Gold's Gym.
Like, oh, yeah.
You had, I mean, I've never seen so much equipment. It's like a trainer's dream. And then I've never seen that many jerseys in my life. Like, his entire ceiling is covered with jerseys.
Yeah,
and some of the dopest, Jordan, Kobe, some of the... So that, let me lead into that. So like,
but that's just an energy thing to me.
No, no, it
to
is.
To me, the jerseys were quilted, dot, 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 like that. The same way your neon is, like that brings its own energy. And you say this to trainers and gym owners, you're not selling. First of all, you're not selling anything. Stop selling.
Right.
It sells itself. Like people are coming for this. They know, like the word is out. Exercise is not a, you know, it's not a back of the house thing anymore. It's like front and center all the time. So they are coming for this. You don't have to sell, number one. And if you are selling, you're not selling fitness. You're selling energy. And all those little things on the wall create the energy.
Yep.
They create the energy that people come for. They create the energy that keeps you going and delivering at the highest level you can deliver. Like you're not trying to just have, like I saw your whiteboard out there with today, I'm assuming it's today's workout.
Right? Yeah.
I've seen your guys, I've taken your classes, like they're putting that together with thought, much the way I programmed the night before. It's not gonna be the same tomorrow.
Right.
It's not gonna be the same the next day. And there's forethought into it, and that creates the vibe and the energy in the room. They may take little blocks of it and reuse, or they log jam on their program, they go, oh, but if they're here, these things are here, we do this back to back, and it creates the vibe you want within the workout and within the person. Whether you want that to be more active recovery, you want that to be where the intensity is at its highest. All that's the magic to me of the programming. That's like the skill of the game, the art of the game, and what speaks to it more than anything is not the number of people, it's how long the people stay.
100%.
And I know you've had people coming to you since the day you opened.
No, it's crazy. Yeah, I mean, our retention rate is through the roof. Like, I mean, and we were just talking about the other day, how many marriages and babies have even come out of here? Like, people literally meet here.
Let's hope the babies didn't come out of here.
Yeah, yeah, literally not out of here.
Yeah,
but who would you say? Because I mean, you've trained like literally everybody. Is there anybody that kind of like you just loved working with? Like, and I know that could be a lot of people, but
yes,
like,
it's a ton of people. I mean, I've been super lucky. Yeah. I had so, even now, I mean, even in Nashville now, I'm working with people that I just love coming in. I love the energy they bring. I love that what they're trying to do. I love what they think they're going to get out of there. And I know that I'm going to over deliver on that, and that the benefits they reap because of the work they do married to the prep I do and the place that is provided, I know it's just going to be magical, so I'm fired up about that. But in LA, I had so many. I mean, again,
it's literally like, and I know why he's struggling, because I mean, you trained everybody. Like, I mean, the
but it's a lot of year. Like somebody goes, oh yeah, you train, but I was there for a long time.
Right,
and you become LA can be a very transient town, right? Yeah. There are a lot of people whose fortunes rise and fall. There are a lot of people who come and go. There are a lot of people who are hot, 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 and then they just can't get a job to save their lives, or you know, through some fault of their own or not of their own, they just are no longer the flavor. So you see everything. And if you're there, like I was, for so long, providing a level of service, and that can be determined, you know, each person can rate it how they want.
Yeah.
But it was always constant. It was never here, here, here. It was right here. And whether you rate that an A or a C or a D, that's fine. But it was one thing that they could rely on, one thing they could depend on. Like, they knew the parking would be this. They knew the gym was going to be this temperature. It would smell like this. The music would be this volume.
The consistency.
It's consistent. Right. The environment is consistent, which in a city like LA promotes, consciously or subconsciously, a feeling of safety. If you feel safe coming in there, you know what to expect. You're never going to have something awkward. It's never going to be that. And I think
that speaks to you too, because they also are, they don't have to worry if you're not going to show up. Like, you are always there, always on time, always ready to go. and maybe speak on that, because I feel like trainers don't really understand that we're not trainers. We're, you know what I mean? Like we're servant leaders, essentially. Like we are serving people.
We are in a service. But I've said that to them.
You know?
You speak to trainers, tell me, this is a service industry. And you get someone, no, oh, I'm gonna fire that client. First of all, you can't fire somebody who hired you. You just don't understand the language being used. You can't fire, it's like, I'm gonna fire my boss today. You're gonna what? Like, you can't.
Yeah.
So you can't, I mean, you can make yourself unavailable to someone. You can choose to no longer work with them. You can quit if you want to use a real harsh word. But you are serving people. There's nothing wrong with that. You're in service to them. You're in a service industry. It doesn't mean you're less than. If you see yourself as that, that's like something you need to work on. You don't have to. You're serving them.
But I think like what I'm trying to get young trainers to understand is that it, because it's service, you don't reschedule. You don't call in sick. You don't, like, there are literally no days off when you're a personal trainer. Like, when you're, this is your field that you decide to be in, then you're essentially on call and you can't start trying to change people. People need consistency. They need reliability. And it's, you know what I'm talking about.
Because
trainers now, like, they think it's the other way around. And it's not. Like,
yeah, but they won't be, they'll lose out because they won't be able to be in the business for as long as they could be or should be to reap all the benefits and rewards and see all the relationships become fulfilled, whether it's relationships, you know, with the people who you're working with or the staff that, you know, are in the trenches with you or the other trainer people, or you go to a seminar and you see somebody you know, and like that's all fun stuff that goes along with being in it for X number of, you know, hours a day, years, months, like all that all comes, and they won't get that because they think it's about them, and it's not. It's about the others. It's nothing. Yeah. It's not about
you. It's not about us. It can't be. Like, it absolutely can't be.
But as a trainer, if you go in going, I mean, I'm not saying compromise, you know, who you are, don't let people walk on you, all that stuff. It's a mutual respect, it goes both ways. Put up with what you can put up with, and after that, you draw lines in the sand. That doesn't mean, though, that you're coming in and laying down the law.
I had to do that a couple of times, but, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, like, dealing with professional athletes, sometimes you got to put down the law.
But you didn't do it in your first 5 years of business.
Of course not, right. You did it when you earned it, and you, yeah, exactly. So
you and when you saw that it was starting to skew a certain way, and you're like, I got to get this back on track or it's going to end bad.
Exactly.
And then you do that, yeah.
Yeah.
And you realize not everybody is for you and you're not for everybody.
100%.
And that's okay.
And that's why this industry needs to me, we got to start pivoting to collaboration more and to sharing more, because that thing that you just said, you're not for everyone. Like you can't, and you can't even be everything to everybody. Like that's impossible. You know, there's only so many hours in the day.
But you're in a super, like the population is very dense down here.
Yeah.
So that's
okay. Traffic is insane, right?
But so that's okay because some people aren't, like you're not the right spot for them geographically. Yeah. You're not the right vibe for them. Yep. They don't want to, you know, they don't want to hear your voice. They don't like your philosophy. They don't like your trainer. But so then what you say is, hey, I got a buddy who owns a gym. Actually, he's much closer to you. I think you'd like him, and you make that connection. And you don't even think about, to me, you don't think about getting anything in return for that. That's gonna come back to you 10 times.
100%. I've always like, so, and I know you've probably experienced this, you know, because we're personal trainers, we work with like physical therapists, massage therapists, doctors, or what have you. I've always just freely referred people.
Oh.
I've never wanted to kick back or what have you. And I've experienced that though from them, like the other way around, you know, like then you're giving them clients, and all of a sudden they want to give you a client. They're like, well, do I get something in return? And it's weird. And it's like, just don't do that. Like,
no,
just
don't do that.
Send people. Because number one, if it's something that complements personal training, like massage, therapy thing, then guess what? They're helping you, because the person is actually going to get more out of their wellness, and then they're gonna probably see you more because this person is helping that whole, you know,
Yeah. The short game is asking, in my opinion, the short game 1,000%. Is asking for something in return.
Yeah, exactly.
What do I get out of this? What do you get? Here you get this. Thank you. That's what you get.
What have you thought about, like, because we've had these conversations. So when we open our doors to younger trainers or even like just, you know, other trainers in general, and we've both been let down by that experience, but I think we would do it all over again because that's just who we are. But I've kind of wanted to hear your perspective on this in terms of like, you're not only a personal trainer, but you're also an owner. And that dynamic of like, you know what I mean? Like, cause it's a different, like it's different when it's yours. And then you bring people in and they're using your business to for their gain. And then they use you and they dip. So how, and I don't even know what the question really is, but I mean, let's talk about it.
I have a good friend. He's in Charlotte, North Carolina. His name is John Damon. John says, to speak to the first part of yes, he says, you see it through owner eyes, not trainer eyes. So you're always going to see your gym differently, whether it's picking up a piece of paper on the floor to something gets wiped down to you see a trainer doing something and you know that that's going to rub the client, even if it's not your client, it's their client, but you just see that that's, it's starting to get cringy. He's like, but you're seeing it through owner eyes. And it's hard to teach owner eyes to somebody who's not vested.
They're not vested in it.
They're just not, yeah. Right. And that's not their problem. That's not their fault. In my opinion, the fault is if they're not open to it. So and you, right. So you bring it up to them in a way that, hey, not attacking, just pointing this out. Well, I mean, I had a kid once and I said to him, he would do these long dynamic warm-ups. We all understand that's a great way to start a workout, I understand. But when people are there for an hour and they're not training in an athletic vein like that, that and the first 15, 17 minutes of the hour is spent with you doing different footwork patterns on the track, you're losing them.
Right.
And especially if I'm there with a client and we're already cooking by then and they're seeing that. And I said to him, I said, you got to pick that up. I go, mm-hmm. Just between us. I said, I'm watching her eyes do that and you're losing her.
Right.
And he goes, it's important to do that warm up. I said, 100%, I get it. But maybe pull back on a couple of the movements. Maybe just shorten it a bit or something. And he was not receptive to it. And I can't fix that. And people would start to go away. And God forbid if he traveled and I had to cover somebody, then they start enjoying the pace of that workout. That just creates, you know, that just makes it tense for everybody. It makes it tense for the client, makes it tense for the trainer. You just have to be open to it. And if somebody said to me, you know, hey, I heard your client say this in the parking lot, or I noticed this, I would go, okay, first there's the dig, that hurts. But if I know you're telling me that from a good place, I would probably bring it up to the client. I'd say next time, hey, I didn't know you couldn't stand these dynamic warm-ups. I was just trying to set you up to not get injured. We can get right into it, let's go. Yeah. Let's hit these deadlifts right now. And I wouldn't do it in hopes that they got injured to prove that I was right. But I would do it, you know.
Yeah, definitely wrong way to look at it.
I'm a little bitter, but I would want to hear that if that's gonna if I'm gonna improve as a trainer, I'm all in.
Right.
Let me know how to get better. So that's a trainer eyes, owner eyes thing. You see it differently, I think.
And we always will, like, you know.
Yeah, I think you do is because you're invested in your business. Like, you didn't build this and create this space to check out and to phone it in and to say, I've done this great, you know, here's my masterpiece. Let me put down the brush and go to my beach house, send me a check. I'm sure you are here as many hours, if not more hours. And there are other times when you step out because you're doing something that's going to enhance everybody else's experience here.
Right.
Like anytime I'm at a conference and I'm gone for a day or two, like I'm down here in Miami doing this, I'm sure some of the people who work out with me at home or, you know, not happy that they're missing a day or two, whatever. But they also know I'm coming here, and when I come back, I'm going to be better.
Right.
My facility is going to be better, which is their facility, and their overall take home is going to be better. So you got to give it a minute, right?
Yeah.
Let the ingredients get in the pot, let it simmer, and now we're going to eat. So
what's the biggest difference in Beverly Hills and Nashville. It's kind of a big, big culture difference there, right?
Yeah, but good. Again, knock wood, I've got the people I have coming to train with me now in Nashville are terrific. They're happy to be there. They work hard. They, you know, I don't have any cancellations. That's funny.
Yeah.
I was talking about this with somebody about, like, what's your cancel? I used to know a kid who had a cancellation rate of 50%, and he was psyched by it because he got paid. And I go, but that's a bad reflection on, I don't want to make this personal, on a lot of things. That's a bad, you don't want that high. He goes, but I get paid. I go, but long term, they're probably not going to be the same people. So it's kind of like you're always getting new people. I get it. In a city as densely populated as LA, it's easy to get new people. I got it. But you're kind of like always, you know, teaching first grade. Like, how do you get over? How do you go through it? How do you develop the relationship? How do you have the longevity? How do you watch the person's physique change, confidence change? How do you watch them grow and improve? How do you grow and improve if you're never able to get out of the starting blocks? I had an 8% cancellation rate of over 28 years. And my last three in LA, I had 4%.
Wow.
I track it. And that's working with some people for, you know, 15 years, 12 years, 10 years, 8 years. That's over long periods of time. They just don't. You know, in Nashville, I have one person who's canceled twice. Once she came up with something hokey. She said it was a tornado warning or whatever. And I said, oh, stop. And I go, get in your car. I text her. I said, get in your car. She goes, I love you, but I absolutely will not drive in this. I'm looking out the window of the gym, and it's, I go, she got a point, you know?
Yeah.
But you have to, you look at the people that you're working with there, it's a different sect of the population. But in terms of the work ethic that they put in the gym, similar to what I had in LA, I mean, they're coming to you in order to get better, but in order to put it down. Like, they know we're working. And I'm not, it's not like, you know, you're some taskmaster, you're cracking a whip and you're like some prison guard. That's not what I'm doing.
No.
But they know I've mapped it out. They know we're going to execute. And they know if there's a challenge, we're not going to pull off. We're going to modify it or regress it. But we're never going to go, let's just skip that. I don't do that.
No.
For a number of reasons, you know, body and mind.
Right.
And so far, they're receptive to it. Weather is different.
Definitely.
I mean, the tornado warning was funny. I mean, I was like, really?
And it's recently, it's been really cold.
Yeah.
Really cold.
Yeah, we had some cold. Which, because I have that outdoor space, I haven't used. I did it in the summer a little bit, but that was more our own stuff. And now that people are in there, I haven't done it much, but I will. So that'll be different. We'll see if they take to it.
Yeah.
There's no guarantee that they take to it.
I think you'll know the clients that will want, you know what I mean? Like, you'll...
Within a week.
Like, I'm really good at, like... You know, you throw something new, and you just pay attention to their body language, their eyes, their size. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost instant.
Yeah.
And then you just simply just take it away and then put them back in their so-called comfort. And then you find a way
not.
To get them.
Or not.
Or you just throw them to the wolves and see if they'll adapt.
So. We're doing this again?
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
You love the...
Yep.
I hate that. Okay, do it again. So, because that's kind of... Fitness is getting uncomfortable. Like, and that's why they're paying you. Because you got to get them a little bit outside of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're babysitting, right?
Change starts at the end of your comfort zone. Or that's a military thing of get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it means all the time or, you know, let's just make it burning hot or freezing cold to be uncomfortable, to say we're uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But when certain movements don't, like, I took an F45 class this morning. There were some movements that were just, my body just wasn't doing it.
Yeah.
I didn't bail on it. Yeah. I regressed it.
Yeah.
And
you
then
just
went,
adapted a little bit, right?
Yeah. And then I went, and later I go, was I a pussy for doing that? Like, I wasn't. I was just tired.
Right. Exactly.
I couldn't. So.
You know, I've seen you on many, many posts, and you're just dropping gems after gems, you know, and then I think it, people need to hear some of this stuff. So what I've been getting a lot of this lately, and I know you hate this too, like, I just don't feel motivated, you know, that whole thing.
Look at your kids.
Yeah, exactly. So talk a little bit on, like, if people are struggling with not being motivated, how that's, first of all, bullshit, but talk about, you know, what you would, how you handle those kind of people.
Is it 50 Cent's quote that says, depression is a rich person's disease or something? There's something, there's another one.
I think I know what you're talking about.
There's another one also that says something like, if you run out of money, it's hard to be lactose or gluten intolerant or something. It's like, you'll eat what's there.
Right.
So for me, the depression, and not to ever say anything about anybody who has real depression and struggles with that, I feel for you. I don't have an answer for it. I don't know. There are a million protocols and ways to approach it. But not the depressed, but the not motivated part, I look in and go, what if I couldn't miss? What if everything I had, what if your whole livelihood depended on it? Like, what if that one client or those four clients or those eight clients coming up in your day, that was make it or break it, and if you didn't see them, your business shuts down? And I know that's dramatic and you're playing games with yourself, but you asked me and that's the kind of thing I think.
Yeah.
Then I reduce it, right?
So you're changing your perspective.
I have to. And then you also, like when you teach a kid to read, I have a six-year-old, and they talk to him about chunking the words, right? Like break it down like this. So I break down my day like that. Okay, my own workouts first, I'll get through that. That's easy. I can always find that in me. I was a fat kid, so that's an easy one to, I'll feel not.
Now when you say you're a fat kid, that's your motivation to like never be a fat kid again? Is that?
Well, there's a fear of becoming a fat kid, and I know when I train, I don't feel like that. I feel less like that.
Yeah.
So, and I understand that that's all in my head, and I'm, nobody needs to walk me through. You know, it's not actually changing anything.
Yeah, but
I got it. But that's what it takes.
That's what you use.
That's what
and that works for you.
I don't want to feel. It's like certain foods. If I eat M&Ms or Reese's peanut butter cups, I don't feel bad. There's something about when they go in my body, I don't feel ugh. If I eat pizza, I feel like I don't like that feeling. It's not that I don't like pizza.
Right.
I don't like that feeling, so I don't want to have that if I know what's going to come afterwards. So eat what you want to eat. These are the cheat meals I'll take. These are the slip ups I'll allow myself. Not working out is a non-negotiable for me. I'm going to do something. So when people don't do that, as far as the rest of your day motivated to do that, I break that down. How hard is it going to be? It's going to be in 4 hours. It's going to be done in 8 hours. You know what I mean? It's 8 o'clock now. By 4 o'clock, I'm done. All this is behind me. Check all those boxes. I didn't let anybody down. I didn't let myself down. I honored my commitments because everything I have lined up, schedule-wise, I did. You can't complain about, in my opinion, you shouldn't complain about your schedule and how busy you are and all this if you courted it. Like, I was the one on the phone texting people, how about Monday at 10? Does that work? Yes, great. Okay, perfect. Then I can put so-and-so at 9. What about this? Oh, I can get that person at 12. You know who wants that 11? Well, bang, bang, bang. And I lined my day up like that.
Right.
And then I lined up 2 phone calls and 1 thing to pick up on the way home. Wow, that's a crazy full day. So I can't wake up the next morning, you know, on the precipice of that day and go, oh my gosh, I got all this stuff. I did it.
Right.
I did it. Well, shut up, Gunner. Go do it. And just break it down. I'm going to do my workout. I'm going to see those 4 people. I'm going to make that call. See those 2 people. Go pick that up. And I'll be home in no time. And you start to find ways to enjoy all of it. You don't look at them like, let me just get through them.
Right.
Like, you get into them. You don't get through them. And when you're into it, it flies by. I mean, I'm sure you've had the experience.
That's actually the theme for this year. I do like a word or theme each year. And last year was till my last breath. And then this year is I get to do this.
Yeah, I get to, not I have to.
Yeah, because if you can change your mindset of like, you have, you know, air in your lungs, you woke up, you're alive, you're putting your feet on the ground, you get to do this. Like, it's not like you have to do it.
Yeah, there's a guy, Ed Milet, if you know him.
Of course, I just finished his 1% book. Yeah.
And I went and met with him. And
he's great.
And he talks about, let's just reframing it. I get to, not I have to. That's a great way to look at it. There's another guy, Brad Lee, is it? I'll show it to you on Instagram. And he has a thing. He said he actually had to write this in his room, that when he woke up, he had to see it on the wall. And it says, you get another day. Because it's better than if you don't wake up. And I know that's dramatic, but he said, I got another day. I get another shot at whatever I botched, whatever is unfinished, whatever I owe. I get another day to come out on the other side of it.
Right.
And it's better than not getting that day. And he said he had to put that in his thing. And I read that he said that. And I thought, that's an interesting way. That's more dramatic. I'm more on the Ed side of it. But I get his way of looking at it. Yeah. Is, all right, whatever you didn't do, whatever you didn't get to, today, you got to.
Well, I think that's another, also, too. I think a lot of people live, unfortunately, in the past. And you can't change what happened. Like, you can't change.
No, but you can make it right, at least on your end. If it's something with somebody, maybe not, maybe never. But you can definitely find a way for yourself. Okay, I got to come to terms with that. I got to move past it. And then you don't, yeah.
And then you know, I think if you put emphasis on the day and whatever's in front of you on that day, that's setting you up for a better tomorrow. You know, like, but if you think about what you didn't do yesterday, then you're probably not going to be your best self today. So I guess that whole thing of like live in the moment kind of thing. So
yeah, but you do have to catch up and finish, you know, these things. And you can't just say, well, I didn't get it done today, so I'm...
All right, so Christy's bringing his...
Hey, now.
Kong smoothie, people. Christy makes a mean smoothie.
It's a Kong shake. You Kong it up.
I think the Kong and the plain Jane are like our top two. People love these things.
How could they not? I think, obviously, if you didn't get to it yesterday, you can't just scrap it. Watch these skills straight out of the league.
No, of course not.
You can't just scrap it, but you do, like, you live in the moment. That's key.
Yeah.
When you talk about the motivation, you look for me, it has been for as long as I can remember your kids. Like, I look at the kids and I think I want to do more stuff with them, right? I have older kids as well as younger kids. I still like doing stuff with the older kids, right? I don't want to take them to fill in the blank activity place and have to sit on the side and go, that's my boy out there.
Right.
I like doing it with them.
Yeah.
And that goes all the way back to my 6-year-old. Like, he's in a soccer thing and he does this little coaching thing, and at the end of it, there's a challenge and he's allowed to bring somebody out, and he's called me out a couple of times. I like that I'm still, I know that I might get called on. I like that I'm that guy to get called on. And I got, now, my soccer skills are nothing to speak of, but at least
you're active enough that you can actually do it.
Correct.
So,
correct.
And I think that's a fantastic motivation.
I want to do that as long as I can.
Yeah. And I think with your lifestyle, you will be able to.
No doubt.
And that you're setting yourself up to live a long, but not just a long life, but a long active life, you know? Yeah. And that's what we should always strive for.
You look at it at so many people who put the health aside to pursue the goals. No judgment, that's what you did, that's great. I would feel as though, maybe failure is too strong a word, I would feel as though I didn't do it right if I got to the position where I could do, you know, just life's electives, like just the things I wanted to, but that physically I was incapable. It would bum me out if I worked and now had an opportunity or the wherewithal to take a trip to China, but I didn't feel physically capable of walking the Great Wall.
Right.
That would bother me.
Heck yeah.
You know, I don't want to go somewhere where they have wakeboarding or water skiing and look at it and go, yeah, I probably can't, but it looks great.
Right.
I feel like I let myself down.
Yeah.
So those are the things. I want to stay in the game. I don't want to just be at the game.
Right. Yeah. And you're setting an example for your clients and those people around you. You know, because if you can do it, then your 22-year-old client that's complaining.
So funny, I do, and that is more me, and somebody, actually, my nutritionist was working last night. He was on the phone with somebody who's training with me in Nashville, and I was walking into the gym last night, and it was my second workout of the day.
Yeah.
And he called me, goes, look who I'm talking to, and he FaceTime, and I said, I'm walking to the gym, second workout of the day, and he just started laughing at her and saying, don't tell me you didn't train while Gunner was gone. On the other side of that, when I travel, I take pictures of my food, not to post, but I send them to my nutrition guy Philip Golia, and I always say to him, don't tell me you can't eat healthy when you travel.
Yeah.
Don't tell me you can't. And I'll
you've done some posts on it too that have actually
sometimes.
But no, in a positive way. Like I loved the one you did on Starbucks.
Yeah.
Because I actually didn't know that they sold those things at Starbucks. Those little egg things, and they're delicious.
And I tell you this,
I could pound like 12 of them. Like
easy, easy. And there are a lot of lesser evils on the road. I did a thing, I used to call it roadkill, and I'd post like from airports, and I think I did sushi in the Dallas airport. And
no, you did. Sort of, and that was a little scary. Like,
and people
I actually was scared.
And the comments went crazy. And I said, I'm going to do it. and I also will post to him when I have a dessert or if I have, you know, a beer or a tequila or something like that. And I just go, look, this is all real. This is all balanced. Yeah. And I can do it. And I'm still here.
Exactly.
There's a way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think people sometimes look at us and think that we're like, you know, we never cheat, and we're always, and it's like, come on, guys. Like, we live our lives
awesome. Cheat every day.
You know?
I tell them that. So. My clients say, do you get a cheat meal? I go, I cheat every day. And they go, what? I cheat every day, but I cheat a little bit here, a little bit. The key to remember is don't let all the wheels come off.
Right.
Right? If you miss your workout, dial in your food, dial in your sleep, don't booze, and have enough water, right?
Yep.
If you booze and don't have your water, at least keep all the other things. Don't let them all happen, right?
Right.
You know, your car can limp there on three wheels. You could probably get there on two, but riding on one wheel is a unicycle, and that's super hard.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Couldn't do that. So one of, and I don't know if you can talk about this. If you can't, then just tell me to shut up. But
I'm getting Kong strength.
All right, good. Obviously. You know, my age, I'm a huge Sylvester Stallone fan. I mean, I think we've all seen Rocky's like 100-something times. So what was that like working with him? And do you still work with him? And like, do you have any fun Sylvester Stallone stories? Because you can tell, obviously, and I'm sure you have a lot. But
I would say
I always thought that for me, like out of all the people you've trained, that to me is like one of the most fascinating, you know, of the bunch, because of his, you know, I mean, I think you told me like you trained him when he was doing Rambo and Rocky at the same time, right?
Yeah, I worked with Sly for 23 years.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you something awesome. Hands down, the most entertaining person I've ever met.
Yeah.
Just in full spectrum. Super intelligent, tremendous vocabulary, wordsmith. Gamesmanship with words, puns, plays on words, definitions, super funny, that appeals to me. Also, can go super dark, super lowbrow, super dirty, nothing off limits, and also has a work ethic that, I mean, the body of work speaks for itself.
Yeah.
But the work ethic in the gym and with projects and that, you just go, that's somebody I want some of that to rub off on me. I want all of it.
Right.
You just, he has a take on anything and everything. And sometimes I think it felt like he would have the take on something just to be so far out here that it would draw you in and then he would bury you with logic. And it was just, I mean, every workout, just you're honored to have him in the gym because he is who he is, but also, you know, I have a sign outside the gym. I have a sign on the inside of the door. So when you're walking outside the gym, it's the last thing you read. It says, you got better today. I would leave the end of every day. I know I got better.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not just from the workout. It's the relationships. It's the conversations. It's all the stuff you do. But Sly, there's no way you're not learning something that day. And
that's really cool that in that period of time you were getting just as much from it as him.
Like, oh, easily.
I love that.
Easily. I look forward to it. I mean, I just just knowing that he was coming in and you know, we training for Rocky Balboa, like he had a toe injury, He had training for Expendables. He had a thumb injury. Like, you have to work around this.
Right.
His character, Barney Ross, I think is the character name in Expendables, in the first one has this thumb thing on. Maybe he has it in the rest of them, I don't know, but he has it on. That was because he had a thumb injury, but he worked around that.
No way.
Yeah, so you just like, that's just, how am I gonna, I can't not train.
Yeah.
Right, I gotta train.
I love that.
He delivers every single time. And I think what he puts on screen, he delivers on screen as well. So you wanna be around somebody who doesn't look at the thought of writing, producing, directing, starring, and maybe even being part of the editing process. Yes, that's huge work. Yes, that's daunting, but it doesn't mean it's a no for the project. And he knows if he's gonna commit to that, that it's gonna be X amount of time in his life that he's gonna be, you know, in that project. So then he accepts it or doesn't as he goes. And you're just like somebody who thinks that way, as opposed to just, I want it because I want, you know, my ego says I want it, so right. I can say I did all that. A lot of movies, I think, you see a lot of projects where one guy did everything and it just something comes up short. But when he's done all those, you just know that he gave everything. That's cool to be around
somebody who
at that stage in their life is that committed to everything you do, you're just all in.
Yeah, that's awesome. And to wrap up, like, I think the people that benefit the most, that can benefit the most from this is people that want to do what we do, right? You know, they're aspiring trainers, they want to own a gym or whatever. I mean, throw something at them that they could take with them. Like, what would you tell a 23-year-old kid that says, I want to be Gunner? You know, like, because
yeah.
I think people watch you on Instagram and say, I can do that, or I want to do that. And especially hearing the joy that you have and you still have it.
I love it.
Like, that to me is what this is all about. It's like, find your passion, your purpose, and then do it the best you can do it every single day.
Yeah, go all in.
Go all in.
Is that, like I said about Sly, you go all in, that's where you're going to get success. The other thing we touched on earlier is, what did we touch on earlier? So one thing I would say is you are in a certain, we touched on earlier.
Serving,
you're in a service industry. Don't ever forget your role in it. It doesn't make you lower than anybody else, but that is your role. That is your lane. That does come with the parameters that comes with. And the third one I would say is return all calls, texts, and emails. And I know that sounds, well, of course I do. Okay, I hope you do. Because when people write you and you don't write back, or you blow them off, or you take too much time. I know one guy used to have a thing on his emails that I respond to all emails on Mondays.
Oh my God.
I was like, what?
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It's Tuesday, I gotta wait 6 days, but okay.
And also, do you hate I hate it when they say they're out of town. Like, you know, I'm so sorry, I'm out of town, I'll
limited access.
I'm in a remote location,
like, I have limited access to email.
Like, give me a freaking break. Like, that's stupid.
But I will say this, I don't always get to everything, but what I do is, at night, I scroll back to where it says whatever, the first message at whatever o'clock, and before then the message for that says yesterday, and I go back through everything from that day, and if I didn't respond, I'll respond, or I'll even write something simple like, the day got away from me, I apologize, I owe you, I'll hit you tomorrow. And it's my way of acknowledging.
Yeah.
I didn't do it. I wish I had done better, but I just couldn't. Or even right then, I can't free myself from what I'm doing to give them the conscientious response that they deserve, that I should give. So I buy myself a little time, and hopefully they're understanding. Because the other argument is, well, just because somebody writes you, you don't owe them. No, you don't. That's true.
Right.
But if you're in a service industry, and it could be a work thing, whether it's a training work thing or some other stream, whether it's revenue stream or just creativity stream in your life, it would behoove you to get back to them, or else they're gonna go to somebody else.
Exactly.
So just respond to text.
I always tell my staff, be the first to respond, because if someone is out there searching for a personal trainer, you're not the only one they contact.
That's for sure.
They're out there contacting a bunch of people.
Yep.
And if you're the first to respond, typically you'll be the one they go with.
And keep it light.
Yeah.
Even if that's not your personality, even if you're more intense, in those
because they don't know you.
Correct. In those first dates and those early ones, use exclamation points. Be upbeat. It's the energy again. Don't get into. I had somebody and they said it was funny. Like they only take calls at this time, and I was like, oh, really? That's tough. It's like 3 to 5 on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and every other Saturday. Kind
I've
of
had some businessmen that have done that to me.
And I just thought that's great that that works for your life. But that's tough for me to now work everything I have, and I'm trying to make this happen between us, so it's probably not going to work.
Right.
So I say as a trainer or somebody coming up in fitness, whether you want to be a gym owner, whether you have a product to sell, whether you're trying to train people, whether you've got a Group X concept, whatever it is, just be on your phone. And don't get that thing on Sundays on your phone that says your weekly average was up this. Don't let that bother you.
Yeah.
That used to stress me out. How am I on my phone 7 hours a day? Yeah. Is that possible? Sometimes I might not have turned it off, so that's fair. But right. Then I look at it and I go, but I know how much of that
is
work related.
Right.
So that's like, that'd be like, you know, in the 90s, leaving your office and someone said, you know, this week you were in the office 7 hours right. every day. You'd be like, really? Good for me. You know?
That's actually a great way to look at it.
It is. That's your office. Unless, you know, take away however much of that is your social media time, and that's a whole other topic.
Yeah. But it shows you now. So, I mean, it'll tell you if you've been freaking flipping through Instagram all day.
No, I don't dig into the details.
Yeah, well, it has the
I just
details,
see the number.
So,
and
which I know you don't do, so.
I see the number, yeah. The social media thing, that's another thing for trainers. I was at a conference last year, and the first 4 speakers I heard, all of them somewhere in their presentation, and all the presentations were solid, but at some point within the presentation, they talk shit about social media. And I just think you can't do that.
Yeah.
I think 2 things. Social media is here to stay. Prove me wrong.
Right.
Right? You can't. The other thing is social media is all elective. You don't have to be on it. You don't have to put yourself out there. You don't have to look at other people. You certainly don't have to comment.
Right.
You also don't have to read the comments. So, and you can limit comments, so you don't have to see anything that anybody else thinks. So if you have a problem with it, you should talk to
yourself.
You're
in control.
100% you're in control.
I always say, use it, don't let it use you.
100%.
You know, like, because, and I tell my staff all the time, post and engage in things that have to do with what you're trying to accomplish, but don't find yourself being distracted by everything that it can distract you. So,
but I think you can learn. I think there are a number of things to learn from social media.
100%.
Yeah. Whether it's a movement on the gym floor to another guy. So look, I just quoted Ed Milet and Brad Lee. Well, like those are 2 things you get from social. And I will dig deep and read those long posts sometimes if it's somebody that I think I may learn something. There might be some takeaway from that. And if I see something I don't like or something I disagree with, I'll never write a nasty comment. I can't imagine taking the time to write something nasty. I just don't have that in me. Also, I think I'm just not agreeing with their opinion.
Yeah.
Because it's not my opinion. What makes my opinion right? Nothing. Just leave it alone. Just keep scrolling.
Just leave it alone.
But they can't. So I would say to trainers, don't be
keyboard warriors out there.
Yeah. So. Don't be judgmental on the social stuff. Look at it. Take what you want from it. Be selfish. Take what you want from
right.
it. Give back when you want, but you don't have to. So that's for the trainers. I think a lot of them base their social experience or their social persona on what everybody else is doing, and I don't think you have to do that.
No. And also, you can't base it off of the responses you get, because you shouldn't be doing it for the reaction or the response or the fame or what have you. You should be doing it for you, because it's your social media. Like, that's another thing too, like you just said.
The good and the bad.
Right.
People say, oh, that's great. Great. Glad you think that. Oh, you suck. Right. Glad you think that.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I don't want to take up any more of your time.
This is cool. Thank you for having me. Love the facility.
No, I appreciate you taking the time. And
I can't wait
till I open in Nashville, and then we'll freaking go back and forth. And
let's do that.
Do some fun shit.
I can't wait to come in here tomorrow morning and try to make myself throw up.
I'll be here at 5. Are you joining me?
Ah!
You're like, ah, I don't know.
A.M.?
Yeah.
I love the I train at 5.
Yeah.
And you get, and sometimes
can we get
you have
Corey up at 5?
Sometimes, yeah, he'll be coming in. Sometimes you have a trainer that'll say, I want to meet you, and I'll say, come in at 5. It's bad use of my time to meet you at 1 o'clock during a,
yeah,
you know, business hour, come in at 5. And I've had trainers that write this, A.M.? I'm like, dude, yes, I'm a trainer. Mother.
You're a trainer. Like, what part of that do you not understand?
Right. I'm not a sommelier. Then I say, no, 5 p.m. when I'm just getting a restaurant ready. Yes, 5 p.m.
I had this recently. I had somebody asked me if they could work out with me. So I was like, yes, I work out every day at 5. And then they said, well, do you ever do 2-a-days like that? And that's I said, yeah, sometimes, but I'm not doing a 2-day just for you. Right. Like, you asked me to work out.
I say you a day.
Exactly.
Thanks, man. Congratulations again. This is cool.
No. Very cool.